You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Galatians chapter 6, looking at verses 6 through 18, this is the final sermon in the book of Galatians. It always makes me sad to finish a book of the Bible. It's like leaving an old friend, and so, but Galatians has taught us well. The title of today's message is Marks of a Believer. You know, in the old Western movies, they would tell somebody that they had come across a gang of outlaws, or if they had done something wrong, they say, better watch out, because you're a marked man. You better be careful, because we know who you are. You are marked. Well, the believer, according to Paul, is marked. Verse 17, Paul said, he bears the marks of Christ. And this is a reference to the beatings he had taken. And so there'll be more on that later. In ancient times, criminals were often marked, sometimes by brands or tattoos. Society marks us today. They say that person's poor or rich or drunkard or divorced, and they give us marks. If you live for Christ, you will have marks. And thinking about 2019, which feels strange to even say the words, as believers and as a congregation, we need to make sure that we are living marked Christian lives. And we're going to see what this passage has to say about that. So look with me in Galatians chapter 6. We'll look in verses 6 through 18. God's word says this: let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. Verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the Christmas season that we've had and celebrated. What a joyous time that's been with our family and with our church family. Lord, I thank you for this time together as we look at your word and study it to know more about you and therefore more about ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would illuminate our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom, not just for this year, but for the year to come. Lord, please meet with us. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, first and foremost, point number one, as believers are marked by faithfulness. We see this in verses 6 through 10. Believers are marked by faithfulness. See, the law of returns is unstoppable. Verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap." The law of returns. The law of reaping and sowing. And just to give a little side note here at the beginning, brothers and sisters, I hear people say this all the time, but I've heard this terminology get brought into Christian vernacular. And they say things like, "Oh man, watch out, karma's going to come around to get you." Hey, we're not Buddhists. We're not Hindus. We don't believe in make-believe traditions of men. All right? Karma's not real. So don't say it. Don't use it. Take it out of your vocabulary. It's not a real thing. This is a little side note rant, and then we'll get to the sermon, right? Okay? But the Bible does say, you reap what you sow. That principle is true. Don't give to other religions what God said is true. You reap what you sow. This is the principle that we see often in Scripture. It's unstoppable. It's immutable. You cannot change it. It's like gravity. It doesn't matter what you want. You will lose the battle with gravity. And I don't care how much makeup or firmer or whatever ladies put on their face, we're all going to lose that battle, amen? Right? And that battle, your body just starts getting further down and closer to the ground, right? That's just a mark of living a while. You're going to lose that battle. You can fight it. You can't change it. Even more so, you cannot stop the law of returns, of reaping and sowing. See, sowing and reaping is a process of moral consequences. If you've read the book of Proverbs anytime soon, really this sums up in very few words what the entire book of Proverbs is that you reap what you sow. You know, my wife and I, we're not particularly good gardeners. On one occasion, we've killed a cactus, if you could even believe that. It's humanly possible. But you reap what you sow. You put in stuff for peppers, and you expect peppers to come out. How foolish is it to plant something else and expect something else to come out of the ground? That doesn't work that way. And the same is true in the spiritual world. You reap what you sow. Verse 8 says this: "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Verse 8 says, "To sow to the flesh, you reap corruption." You could even translate this word disintegration. Hosea 8:7 says, "They sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind." You sow dishonesty, friend, you will reap loneliness. You sow envy, you will reap bitterness. In a very real sense, our country is reaping what it has sown. Now, I'm as much of a patriot as anybody else, so don't be angry with me for saying this, but our country has said what God's word says is foolish. And we've legalized the things that God says are wrong. And so when you look at the news, don't get confused. Don't let the people and the talking heads confuse you. It's about reaping and sowing. You reap what you sow. And our country is reaping what it has sown for decades. And apart from the reviving hand of God, I think we will go the wrong direction. Amen. See, the principle is sin makes things fall apart. Sin always reaps corruption. It always brings trouble. Corruption and disintegration. It corrupts our countries. It corrupts churches. It corrupts your family. Sin always brings harm. Never good. See, if you sow to the Spirit, the Bible says you reap eternal life. You won't not do you reap a life that never ends, that you reap the highest quality of life Now, I'm not saying that you promise riches and wealth. That's not what the Bible says is the highest quality of life. You get to walk in the step with the Spirit. You get to walk in relationship with God, which helps you walk in relationship with man, which is the highest quality of life when we sow to the Spirit. See, you sow faithfulness and you reap trust. You sow kindness and you reap generosity and friendship. You know, our church, in a very real sense, is reaping what it has sown. You guys are uncommonly friendly. That's a good thing. I mean, uncommonly friendly. I've been to a lot of different churches. You've been to a lot of different churches. And you'll go there and sit in a pew and nobody will ever shake your hand. And when the service is over, like rats off a sinking ship, they just disperse to their cars and they take right off. And you guys, man, are shaking hands and hugging people. And I know that comes from a sincere heart. It's not manufactured. You really care about people. And I think a lot of people have joined this church not because of magnificent preaching, as I'm demonstrating today. I think a lot of people have joined the church because of a friendly atmosphere that really cares about people. You are reaping what you have sown. Sowing to the Spirit is the same thing we talked about a couple weeks ago. Same as walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. See, a life infused and empowered and illuminated by the Spirit that produces His fruit, and then you get to reap all those beautiful fruit that you have been sowing for all these years in your life and people that you care about. There's a word here, brothers and sisters. Don't become spiritual consumers. That God has gifted you so that you can sow, and then you don't get to reap by yourself. You sow so other people can reap. You come to this church week in, week out. You don't know anybody. You don't talk to anybody. You don't give anything. Then you're a spiritual consumer. And that's not what the Bible has in mind. The Bible wants you to give and live as the Spirit lives. Give of your talents and your energies and your time. Don't become a spiritual consumer, but make sure you are sowing the things of the Spirit in this church. The principle here is that you sow now and you reap later. Here's the problem with that. Is I want to sow now and I want to reap now. I want it now. I can get anything I want on Amazon right now. Walmart will literally bring me groceries now. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful age we live in. But things don't always work that way in the spiritual world. Where I want to reach Tucson with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want thousands of people saved because of our ministry. I want to see disciples growing up. I want to see young people from this church called to missions and sent all across the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I sow something and it doesn't get to happen on the timetable that I want it to. And you have to be careful, brothers and sisters. Sometimes you have children that are not walking with the Lord. And you've sown in them the good things of the gospel and you want to reap. Sometimes you got to wait. Sometimes God goes a little faster. Sometimes God's plan's a little slow. But He does it all on His timetable. Look with this verse. Go on in verse 9. It says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." I've come to this passage many, many times. Frustrated, discouraged, angry about something. And God speaks in this still small voice. Oh, don't give up. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't get discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't quit. Hell is too hot. Eternity is too long. Keep sowing to the Spirit. Keep sharing the gospel with friends that reject it. Keep sharing the gospel with an unbelieving spouse. Do not quit. Hell is too hot. Eternity is too long. You cannot quit. Do not grow weary. God is going to do what He said He is going to do. the process of investing in others can wear us down. Sowing to the Spirit is always the right thing to do. I remember a couple years back, I was hiking a place in New Mexico called Hermit's Peak. It's a really beautiful like plateau thing, and it's really high and takes a long time to get up there. And I remember this one occasion, I was hiking Hermit's Peak, and I remember I wasn't in a very good shape, as is often the case with me. And I was hiking up there, and I was really tired, man. I was maybe halfway or more than halfway, and I was doubting whether or not I should go the rest of the way. It was a little dangerous. The rocks were where you could were tripping, and you could easily sprain an ankle by myself. 10,000 feet up is not a great plan. It's in bear country, and I don't know anything about bears, and so I was just kind of nervous every time I'd go around the corner. I just thought, I don't know, I might turn this ship around here before I get to the top. I was just wore out. And about that time, a couple came down the mountain, and we got to talking as hikers do, and I said, you know, oh man, there's good, and they're hiking, small talk stuff. And they said, yeah, and I said, you know, it was a good trip. And he said, sure. And they said, it's worth it. I said, you're almost there. And right then, right there, I said, I don't care what happens. I'm going to get to the top. And you know what? It was one of the most beautiful views I've ever seen. In New Mexico, there ain't nothing in New Mexico. There's no people. There's no animals. You just go to the top of this this mountain thing, and you could just see for thousands of miles. I mean, it was beautiful. Brothers and sisters, eternity is too good. God's promises are always true. Don't quit. You may be walking alone some of this journey. Do not quit. Do not grow weary of doing good. The trip may be dangerous. You may be alone sometimes. You may be tired. Do not quit. God's promises are true. Eternity is better than anything we can comprehend. It's better than anything that this world can give. God's promises are good. Do not quit. Do not quit. Sow to the Spirit and don't quit. Marks of faith. In 2019, we need believers that are willing to stick it out. When things get tough, when things don't go their way, when life is causing them difficulties, we need people who are saying, I'm going to be faithful no matter what. Marks of faith. Believers are also marked by their boasting. Point number two. See this in verses 11 through 18. Believers are marked by their boasting. Look at verse 11. Paul writes, see what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is to those who make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised and only in the order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. See, verse 11, the Apostle Paul may have had bad eyes. There's other things in Scripture that point to the fact that he might have had some kind of disease, and so couldn't see the way he would like to have seen. And so Paul may have had had somebody write a lot of the Galatians. That's what he's done in other parts of Scripture. He had somebody writing out what he was saying. But it seems like he's saying that I even wrote this in my own hands, maybe even with really big letters. That's the only ones that he could see. And he's saying, guys, I want you to hear this. This is the end of the letter. The church is at Galatia. I want you to know what's happening. See, you warn that the false teachers were marked by compromise and hypocrisy and self-boasting. Remember, Paul's been battling these false teachers in the book of Galatians. He battles them in other books of the Bible, and they've been a problem particularly for the church in Galatians. But he said, look at them. So they're full of compromise. They don't even keep the law. They ask you to keep it, but they don't do it themselves. They're hypocrites. They're full of boasting, but not in good things. They boast in themselves. Just don't follow those people. See, believers are marked by their boasting. Usually boasting is a bad thing. usually boasting is not a good thing. We would preach against it. But I'll say it depends on what you are boasting in. See, to embrace the doctrine of the cross, you must feel the offense of it. The world says religion is okay. Hey man, you do whatever you need to behind closed doors. You can worship here and worship there and chant or pray or sing. It doesn't make any difference to us. But the world hates the cross. The world is offended by the cross of Jesus Christ. It says that they in verse 12 says, only in order that they may not be persecuted. See, John Stott says, men prefer comfortable illusions. See, the Bible says the cross wounds man's pride. The gospel says you cannot make yourself right with God. You could live 1,000 lifetimes and all you would do is store up more wrath. And the worldly person, the ungodly person says, no, I'm righteous. I can make myself right before God. And the gospel says the complete opposite. It says you can never make yourself righteous before God. Only Jesus Christ and His righteousness given to you can save your soul. And so the cross is a stumbling block. It's offensive to people. And it's only until you have felt the sting of the cross will you run to God for salvation. Only until you've sensed that condemnation that you are guilty of, will you run to a Savior that rescues you. Men prefer comfortable illusion. See, we are what we boast in. A boast is your identity. What validates you, what strengthens you, what your confidence is in. This initially started, particularly this terminology, happened in battles, right? And so you had one army standing on one side of the field and another army standing on the other side of the field, and they would say things like, "Aha, shields are stronger!" And they'd say, "Yeah, ooh, we're going to take you down." And then the other people say, "Our swords are sharper, and we're going to take you down." And that's what they had their confidence in. They were boasting. This is what they were counting on. And Paul says, we boast in something different as believers. Look at verse 14. It says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision counts, but a new creation. And as for me, I'll walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and the Israel of God. What does it mean to boast in the cross? It means you are seeking the applause of God and not of men. See, God sees you in Christ Jesus and applauds. Because Jesus Christ has made you righteous. Remember, you haven't made yourself righteous. And we've talked about this at the very beginning of the book of Galatians. It completely changes your motivation. You stand right before God because of what Christ has done. And because I stand right before Him, it changes why I serve Him. I serve Him out of love instead of obligation and trying to make myself passable to God. I'm already stand pleasing and right before a holy God because of what Christ has done. And so now I can live for God out of joy and happiness and acceptance from my Father. Amen. Y'all with me, church? Amen. Okay, I'm just checking. The Bible says that Jesus was jeered so that we could have God's applause. Jesus experienced rejection so that we could be accepted by our Father. Understanding this, we can say to the world, my life for yours and not yours for mine. Look at verse 14 again. It says, by which, at the very end of it, says, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. According to the Bible, the world no longer has any power over the Christian. The world's not dead. We're not dead, but we are dead to the world. So I don't have to play their games. I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I don't have to try to puff myself up or bring other people down. I'm dead to the world. But I'm alive in Christ Jesus. And so are you if you're a believer. Because of the gospel, Paul says, I don't feel superior or inferior to anyone. And I can serve people now out of full acceptance by Jesus Christ. I don't have to put you down. I don't have to puff you up. I know who I am. I can give my life for yours because I am already dead. I'm dead to the world. People of the new creation boast in the cross. We don't boast in anything else. We boast in the cross. I want to read verse 17 for you. Let me get this set up. I kind of skipped over it earlier, but I want to read it again. Look at verse 17. Paul says, almost at the very end of his letter, after he said all he needed to say, this is what Paul finishes the book of Galatians on. It says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it real quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and 25, Paul says this, talking about his previous life as a believer. Are they servants of Christ? He says, I am the better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was set adrift at sea. You'll have to excuse me. I went to seminary, not art school, all right? So you can keep your snickering to yourself. Say that's the rough equivalent of a human, okay? Can y'all see the rough equivalent of a human? Okay. Just picture him standing like this, okay? And Paul says, I'll see if I can make sure everybody can see this. I know it's going to be tricky. And Paul says, 5 times I was beaten with 39 stripes. Once. Twice. Paul refused to quit preaching the cross. He refused. That I don't care what they do to my body. That if I've already died to this world. He said, leave me alone. Leave these false teachers go away. Because I bear on my body
the marks of Christ.
If you live for Christ, you will have marks. Sometimes good marks and sometimes bad marks. We cannot do anything but preach the gospel. We have no other message. We can't give self-help seminars. We only have the cross. It is only the cross that brings salvation to God and man. Galatians has taught us you continue as you began. We began our relationship with God through the gospel. We don't discard the gospel and say, now I move on to other things. No. The Bible says you begin with the gospel and you continue with the gospel. We preach the gospel to ourselves daily. God has saved a sinner like me, has made me right with a holy God. We continue with the gospel. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's word. Brother, maybe you're tired. Sister, maybe you're tired. Maybe you've been praying for a spouse, praying for a child, praying for a sibling. And I just want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Maybe you've been teaching a Sunday school class forever and you're thinking, man, I would like to do something else. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't grow weary in doing good. They encourage your brother and sister to sow eternally. Many of you are savvy in the world of finance. But I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't just invest in this life. Invest in the next one. Because that's the only one that counts for anything. So in 2019, measure your days. Measure your steps and say, God, what am I going to do for you this year? How can you use me in my family, in my neighborhood, in my workplace, in this church? How can you use me in the year 2019? I know what happens for this world is ashes and dust. I want to invest in eternity. I want to sow the things of the Spirit. Then ask God to speak to your heart today in this invitation time. I encourage you to faithfully boast in the cross this year. Ask God to give you the nerve, the opportunities, the eyes to share the gospel with people in this coming year. We have no other mission. Share the gospel and disciple brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the mission of Sabino Road Baptist Church. And so ask God to help you be faithful and boasting in the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Well, thank you that Jesus was rejected, that he took the jeers of men, Lord, so that we could be accepted. Well, I thank you that he was faithful even to the point of death and death on the cross. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to boast, not just in our favorite football teams or things that get us excited, Lord, but Jesus Christ and the message that saves souls. Lord, I pray maybe if somebody doesn't know you here today, that they have been, the Spirit's been working in their lives, Lord, then they would come forward and we all stand up and sing and say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be faithful. Please work in hearts. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name.